right, so all eyes on U of A tomorrow.
Let's go.
They're down. The Wildcats taking on USC.
I just saw something on the TV in here that U of A is only 14.5-point underdogs.
Shock really? The world.
ASU was 10.5. And no
that
offense to your Wildcats.
Right.
It must not be. I'll have to look it up.
Shock
here.
The world.
24.5, yeah.
What do you think? Any chance?
No.
She just chuckles.
Look, I love my cats, but I'm also a realist. No.
You don't give them any chance at all?
No.
To shock the world?
I would love to be wrong, but I don't think
Can you
I would.
Imagine if we come in here Monday and U of A beat?
Yeah.
Imagine what people are like, I'm not even going to watch that game if they beat USC.
I'm looking at ESPN.com. USC, 14.5-point favorites.
Wow. Okay, let's do this.
The door is open now.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why you always tape those games no matter what, even if I don't watch it. Just in case something crazy happens, then I need to watch the whole game.
Yeah.
Rather than just parts of the game or stuff like that.
I mean, in 2020, I guess you cannot fully write off anything.
That's true.
So we'll see.
What time is the U of A game tomorrow? Do you know offhand?
I have it right here. It's a 1:30 kick.
1:30 kick. What channel?
Fox.
Fox, U of A. ASU is not playing tomorrow. And basically, we'll go over it. ASU's not going to play Cal. That game has been canceled. Cal, instead, is going to play UCLA on Sunday. So ASU and Cal is not going to happen, which is kind of crazy because going into this week, we really thought that it was going to be Cal that wasn't going to be able to play ASU.
It wasn't just going into this week. It was going into today. We had felt like we were talking yesterday. Gambo, you and myself were discussing what is taking the city of Berkeley so long. Why are they dragging their feet? Why won't they come out with a proclamation one way or the other on whether the Cal Golden Bears can travel to Tempe and play this game? That's what everyone was under the assumption. And it wasn't until yesterday afternoon that we started getting whispers and trickling about, I think it was Kyle Bonagura was the first one that was saying, hey, you know, we're hearing something funky going on with ASU canceling their practice yesterday. And then in little over 24 hours, all hell's really broken loose for ASU.
Yeah, so here's how it broke down. And, I checked in with ASU today. I even texted Herm just to, make sure that he's okay. So I texted Herm Edwards. But here's what happened. On Wednesday night, ASU had their first batch of positive tests. Now, they had done a really great job, ASU, of keeping everybody safe and controlling the environment that everybody was in. And they had no real issues for months. No real issues. Nothing that would have been a concern that would have threatened, them, missing practices and games and things like that. So on Wednesday, they had some positive tests. Okay, enough to where they said, let's cancel practice on Thursday. No practice Thursday. Thursday night comes and more positive tests on Thursday night. Okay. All right. Still had enough players available to play Cal this weekend. There was still enough available to play Cal on Thursday night. So they go to bed last night and they're still okay. They're still going to play Cal, but you got a new batch of tests coming in, test results coming in on Friday. Friday comes in and there's just too many positive tests and too many people that have to be in the contact tracing, and they're not even close to being able to put the 53 scholarship players on the field, and they have to cancel the game. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days in a row of positive tests, and they had no choice but to cancel that game. Now, next week, I asked about next week. It is all up in the air. It's all going to be determined. They have no control over the situation. The virus does. So they're just going to have to continue testing. Who's to say there's not going to be more positive tests tomorrow or Sunday? So that's where they are right now. Everything about next week's game is up in the air and to be determined. And this game got canceled because they had 3 days in a row, bang, 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 of positive tests.
And you mentioned next week that game is highly in question now. One thing you put in your email yesterday, as we were waiting on a decision from Cal that I think still applies now, if not even more heightened up, is the idea that imagine if ASU had beaten USC last week and now the perfect season is in place.
Wow, yeah.
The Pac-12 title is at your grasp if you continue to win out. And now to have this, which would have derailed that, as awkward as it may sound, it's kind of a blessing in disguise that they lost to the Trojans.
Well, I would never say that, but we would be, it would be a difficult pill to swallow. If ASU had won that game, climbed up the rankings, been undefeated, and we're looking at 7-0 and playing in the playoffs, and all of a sudden you have a game taken out. Okay, now you're only going to play six games. They're not going to take you with six games.
Well, you're really only looking at five games right now, because I think we both are in agreement that Colorado next week is highly, highly likely to probably get canceled.
I think so, based on just the way it's looking right now. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. We're still a full week away, so let's not go down that far. But there's the potential that you're looking at only six or five games.
There is. There's the nobody at ASU is going to tell you, no, we'll be good for next week. They're not going to say that. What's the status for next week's game? It's up in the air. Don't know. Nobody's saying we should be good. We'll clear everybody by Wednesday. We'll practice Thursday, Friday. Like, we'll be okay. Nobody's saying that. So nothing like that is being said. So it's just all up in the air. Remember, the virus controls this here. The virus controls everything. Man doesn't control this. The virus is in control. The only thing that changed with ASU is they took a road trip. ASU did a phenomenal job of controlling the environment they were in and with the kids. They did a tremendous job. The only thing that changed, very few issues over the last several months, very few issues. The only thing that changed is they went on the road. Now, going on the road, you've got to take a bus to the plane, and then you take a plane to the airport, then you get out of the airport, you take another bus to the hotel, you stay in a hotel, there's meals, then you take another bus to the... Like, there's just a lot of areas
where
you don't have any control over the environment. But if you said, okay, what's the difference? How was ASU so good for so many months and never had any real issues, and now, bang, 3 days in a row, positive test? They had a road trip.
So to that point, you also have some information, you've been checking with your sources, about what this could mean for basketball season for ASU, specifically with a lot of travel pertaining to the non-conference schedule.
ASU's got six or seven, you know, non-conference games. I think the first thing that and this is stuff they're looking at, the Pac-12. They're looking at everything. But they obviously are looking at, do they cancel the non-conference season? Buy yourself some time, you know, and limit the amount of danger that you would have with the virus. The other thing is, like, ASU is supposed to go to Connecticut. Like, how are you going to go to Connecticut? There's quarantine rules there.
Matt Barry said Arizona is specifically one of the states
14 days.
Is 14-day quarantine.
You come in from Arizona, you got a 14-day quarantine. So that is something that I would think would prevent ASU basketball from being able to play. Now, one of the other things I believe is being looked at is, like, when two teams come in to visit Arizona, usually one plays ASU and one plays UFA. And, well, let's just take Oregon and Oregon State. One plays here and the other one plays in Tucson. And then they take buses and they switch. There's a thought going on that maybe you could have just everybody play in one facility. Just everybody plays in Tucson. Just all the games get played in Tucson, or all the games get played in Tempe. So nobody's switching hotels, and you limit the amount of buses, and you know, you kind of bubble it off in this one area to get these games in. When the teams get here, they're in one area, and then they leave. So nobody has to leave and go to different areas and expose themselves even more. So that's being looked at as well.
You mentioned the Big Sky Conference, one that Northern Arizona plays in. And that's exactly what they're planning on right now for basketball. If you look at NAU's basketball schedule, they're doing back-to-back games with the same team at the same location. So Eastern Washington, December 3rd, Thursday, in Flagstaff. December 5th, Saturday, against Eastern Washington in Flagstaff, and vice versa throughout the rest of their conference schedule. That's a possibility. The other one, too, is something Matt Barry was almost talking about, a little bit of a little mini conference tournaments each weekend. If you can get multiple teams, even maybe more than two, to a certain location, and on a Thursday through Sunday, play multiple games so that you can build up that schedule and get wins and losses up in the standings, but still try to make it as safe as possible. I just think what we're seeing right now in football really has to give the Pac-12 basketball people a moment of pause, because if you're seeing this in conference play, an ASU team going to USC and now having an outbreak, it has to give you some concern level of whether you can do this safely yourself.
Yeah, and I think the first thing you look at is canceling the non-conference schedule. Cancel that, limit the travel, limit the exposure, try to find a way to bubble as best you can in certain areas so that way you could get this season in. I mean, the last thing you want is all these teams traveling non-conference and then finding out that all these teams can't play their conference schedule because they've got the coronavirus. Now, a difference with basketball, right? Because it's a lot less players to
Absolutely.
Really worry about. I mean, you know, it's a lot less players that you've got to worry about. So you probably feel a lot better being able to control the environment that they're in.
And one other difference important to note with basketball is you and I, notably last week, got into it a little bit about talking about changing games at the last moment. Football, that seems to be a real stink. You know, well, it doesn't give us enough time to game plan and all this. Basketball, that's what they're used to. When you play the Pac-12 conference tournament, you're playing different teams if you go on a run each and every day. NCAA tournament, you could play one team this day and then, you know, vice versa. I think basketball is better prepared for scheduling changes, scheduling anomalies than college football is.
100% because of the times too,
yep.
right? I mean, you know, football can only play once a week. You know, in basketball, you know, you could move games around.
A conference tournament, you could play four games in four straight days.
You could. And that's why you probably have a better chance of getting it. But they're definitely looking at things that they need to do to try to, you know, limit the damage in college basketball, and they get to use football as an example. All right, a lot more still to come on the program. We'll talk a little Cardinals football and maybe the game of the week, Cardinals and Bills. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Might be the game of the week in the NFL on Sunday. The Bills and the Cardinals, a 7-2 Bills team, a 5-3 Cardinals team, and a lot of nervous time right now for Cardinal fans. 5-2 could turn into 5-5 with these next two games in a heartbeat. You're hoping to get one of them, right? You want to stay above that 500 mark. You want to make the playoffs. You felt at 5-2 that anything less than the playoffs would have been a disappointment. This is a good Bills team. This is a good offense. This is a team that's got playing sky high. They've got a great wide receiver group between Cole Beasley, John Brown, and of course, Stephon Diggs. Their quarterback is having an MVP-type year in Josh Allen. They've got some good defensive players, including Tre'Davious White. This is a tough matchup. But Arizona, coming off that loss for Miami, they've got to be motivated to play well. The Bills, listen, both of these teams know the other is good, right? They both know the other is good. So, you know, not overlooking anybody here. And I don't think that the Cardinals overlooked Miami. I just think that the Cardinals defense just, you know, failed to make any plays in that game, and it killed them.
And I think that's why Cardinal fans have concern about this game, because if Tua, in his second career NFL start, can create the kind of problems and headaches for the Arizona Cardinal defense that he did last week, what is Josh Allen going to do to this Arizona Cardinal defense? And you talk about the eyes of the league upon this game. The Ringer.com put out their preview for this slate of NFL games this weekend. They highlighted the Buffalo Cardinals game as the game of the week. And so there's going to be a lot of eyes on this. And if the Arizona Cardinals are actually able to win this game, which is going to be a lot easier or is going to be a lot harder than just saying it, then that puts them back in the conversation. The Cardinals go back into that conversation of one of the better teams in the NFC, one of the better teams in the NFL.
Listen, if they beat the Buffalo Bills, this might be their toughest matchup of the year, to be honest with you. Like, it might be their most difficult game of the year. I mean, Buffalo, you know, beat Seattle. If you think Seattle's their toughest game, like, New England's not, you know, nobody they're playing in the NFC. This is their toughest matchup. This is the toughest game
I think
they're
you're
play.
Right. I mean, because the only other games that would be...
Not San Francisco, not L.A.?
No, those were the only two that I could think of, was the Seattle game and the first game of the season against the Niners, because Jimmy G was healthy, the defense was healthy, but there was some issues on their offense going into that game.
This is the toughest matchup they're going to have. And if they win this game right here, you know, if they win this game, I'll say this on Monday, that they proved that they could beat anybody in the NFL, and they should be a Super Bowl contender. If they beat the Bills on Sunday... I would say this on Monday. They have just proven that they could beat the elite teams in the NFL. In the 3-week span, they would have beaten Seattle and Buffalo, and they will have proved that on any given Sunday they could beat the best teams in the league. Buffalo's a really good team. It's a really good football team. 7-2, for goodness sakes. Their only losses are to Kansas City, the Chiefs, and then
Tennessee.
And that was a close game.
Yeah.
Kansas City was a close football game. So I think that there's a lot on the line here. Besides just getting to that sixth win of the season, if you lose and you know you get now you've lost two games in a row to AFC East teams. You got Seattle coming up. you know, in a week. You don't want to be 5-5. You do not want to be 5-5. Now, it's not the end of the world because the schedule kind of breaks a little bit after these games for them in their favor. They're not going to play a lot of good football teams after the Seattle game. But if you can, if you get to 5-5, well, then you're concerned. Then you're worried because you've got 6 games left and you don't want to go 8-8.
And well, if you go 5-5, you really only have a game, maybe 2, to play around with in terms of losses. Because you're going to need to be 10-6, maybe 9-7, depending on how the rest of the NFC plays out.
You're
going
to have to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. You're going to have to beat the Eagles. You're going to have to beat the Giants. And you're going to have to beat the Patriots.
Which hasn't always been the case this season.
And you're going to have to beat San Francisco. Those 4 games, you're going to have to win those games. Now, maybe you beat the Rams, right? You haven't played the Rams yet. So maybe you beat the Rams in, you know, they're not great. They're not a great football team. So maybe you get those. But, you know, you put a little bit more pressure on yourself to have to win those games and not have a slip up.
Now, obviously, one of the big reasons nationally why this game is being looked at as the best game of the week is the quarterback matchup between Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. Specifically, and I know that this is a secondary byproduct, especially in terms of the Cardinals being a playoff team. But for Kyler Murray personally and his case for an MVP, this is a showcase game. Because if you are going to
throw... Are you thinking about it like that?
I am. Because if he is really...
I could care less about MVP.
Well,
man.
I'm just saying it's one of the storylines of it. I mean, we were talking earlier this week about how he's already outpacing Lamar Jackson from where he was at last season. If Kyler Murray is really going to be an MVP candidate, he has to perform well and win these high showcase games. And that's what this weekend is. It's a high showcase game. He's already accomplished it with that game against Seattle. That was on national television against Russell Wilson, who at the time was being looked at as the MVP favorite. If Kyler Murray wins this game and he plays well, you better believe the MVP talk is going to get ramped up through the roof.
Yeah, it probably is. It's just, man, it's not anything that I've thought about all week. You know, there's a nervous part that you're like, you know, for those people that want, and I want the Cardinals to do well, and I want them to win. You know, I'm more scared of losing this one than losing to Seattle and you're 5-5.
Oh, I am too. I am too. But I think also it goes hand in hand. If Kyler Murray is a legitimate MVP candidate, that means the Cardinals as a team are having success as well.
Okay, but a win over Buffalo and he plays well, to me, my thought is, all right, there it is, 6th win, puts themselves in line for the playoffs. They might be one of the best teams in the league. I'm still not thinking Kyler Murray and MVP. That's not crossing my mind at that point.
You're not, but you better believe other people around the league, especially here in Arizona, are going to be going crazy with it.
My first thought, if they win the football game, is, whew, that's a big win right there.
Yeah.
Okay, now they're 6-3. They'd be 6-3 with 7 games left. And they put themselves in a great position to make the playoffs. That's number one. My number two thought would be, damn, they just beat one of the best teams in the NFL for the second time in the last 3 weeks. You know, can they win? Can they beat anybody they play? Could this be a Super Bowl contender? And then I guess after that, you know, maybe down the road, down the totem pole, I'll start thinking about Kyler and MVP, depending on what he does.
I'm not trying to make it say that.
I know you're not.
Yeah, it's the top thing on my mind.
I know you're not.
The other area here, too, is something we haven't talked about really at all this week, is Seattle themselves. I'm not that high on the L.A. Rams this season. I'm not. But that is a big game within the division this weekend with the Seattle Seahawks at L.A. If by chance the Rams do beat Seattle and the Cardinals take care of their business, you're going to have a 3-way tie record-wise at the top of the standings. So if the Cardinals win, you're talking about, to your point, that it makes them legitimate as a team, that they can beat anyone in the NFL, and it puts them back in the position to control their own destiny when it comes to winning the NFC West division.
Boy, that's going to be some game, huh?
Yes.
Rams-Seattle?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one.
I don't know what to expect in that one.
Well, because what really can you count on with the Rams?
You know, when they lost to Miami a couple of weeks ago, like I kind of believed in them a little bit. Then they lose to Miami, and they're coming off the bye. Are the Rams coming off the bye?
They are. But that game to Miami is a weird one in itself. The offense played really well. The defense played pretty well for the most part. It's not like Miami went up and down the field against them. It was just all the other aspects of the game that they lost out to the Dolphins, which was the difference.
Who do you want to win? What's better for the Cardinals, a Seattle win or a Rams win?
The way I always look at this is you're more focused with the team in front of you than the team behind you. Because in theory, you should be handling your own business. And as long as you do that, the team behind you can't catch you. So once again, just like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago with Seattle and San Fran, I want the Rams to beat the Seahawks, especially going into that Thursday night short week game.
Then you play Seattle on a two-game three-game losing streak, right? They lost to the Cardinals, and they lost to the Bills.
They've lost two out of their last three. They had a 49er win sandwiched in there.
They beat the 49ers, so it'd be three out of four if they lost the game. Yeah, either way, you get some help. One of them is going to lose. That's the good news. One of them is going to lose, and that's a positive. All right, Arizona State, their football and their basketball programs, what is in store for them? We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. All right, interesting news that I want to put out there. I don't know if this has been reported anywhere yet. ASU, if they were going to play Cal, that game was going to be on Sunday. It would not have been on Saturday. For Cal to travel and play an away game, they were not able to play on Saturday. They were only able to play on Sunday. I'm sorry that's past one of your updates, but I just found that out right now. Sarah.
Oh, Sarah still has a 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Do you have a 6 o'clock?
I have a 6 o'clock and a 6:30.
Okay, there you go. This is new information. I don't know that anybody had this. ASU would have played Cal on Sunday. Cal would not have been able to play on Saturday. So there would not have been a Saturday night game between ASU and Cal. That game would not have taken place. That Sunday spot was reserved for Cal against ASU.
Yeah, the Cal-UCLA game has now been moved or rescheduled. They weren't even supposed to play one another, but now Cal and UCLA are playing at 10 a.m., Sunday morning on FS1. You have to imagine that the conference was holding that spot open for ASU and Cal. And Kyle Bonagura from ESPN, he sent out a tweet not that long ago. It was originally believed that Cal's quarantine players wouldn't be out until Tuesday. That was wrong. It's Sunday. So that's why that Sunday timeline. The one thing, though, and he even corrected himself in this tweet, if the game is at 10 a.m. our time, that's 9 a.m. California. Is Cal able to travel Saturday, or are they not able to travel until Sunday? Because that doesn't seem like, even though you're just going from Oakland to Southern Cal, that doesn't seem like enough time for them to travel the same day for a 9 a.m. kickoff.
For Cal to travel and play away, they could play Sunday but not Saturday. I don't know about the travel, but they would not have been able to play the game on. So there would not have been, under any circumstance, an ASU-Cal game on Saturday night.
That's interesting.
That game would not have been played. The game would have been played on Sunday. So that wasn't to give more time or anything like that. For Cal to travel and play away, they could play Sunday but not Saturday. So you would have had ASU playing Cal followed by Cardinals playing the Buffalo Bills.
I wouldn't have hated that.
But that would have been your Sunday.
That would have been pretty sweet.
Yes, you were never going to have an ASU-Cal game on Saturday because of the Cal restrictions. Not because of ASU, but because of the Cal restrictions, that game would have been played on Sunday. So when you see this spot opened up, that spot was already being held.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I mean, the Pac-12 has officially announced that that game is being played at 9 a.m. So as we're trying to figure out what exactly Cal's travel schedule looks like, I'm sure the Pac-12 is all over it because otherwise they wouldn't have officially released that game as being played at 9 a.m. California time on Sunday morning. But the funny thing about this whole thing, funny, I use
funny
that
how?
In a
like
loose
I'm a
term.
Clown?
Yeah. No, I mean, just unusual funny here. Is that this entire week we thought we were waiting on Cal. And based off of the information you just put out, in a sense, we kind of were.
Yes.
But in the meantime, ASU gets hit with a COVID outbreak that no one really saw coming.
No. This was Wednesday they had the positive test. Thursday the positive test. Friday the positive test. And then they couldn't play. So Cal plays UCLA. But the Pac-12 secretly had the Sunday game ready. They had Sunday ready because, again, we had talked about that 14 days and the, you know, when can Cal play? But yes, now I don't know if it would have been a home game or anything, but for to travel and then play again on the road, they would have had to, I would imagine they could have traveled on Saturday. I would imagine they could have traveled at some point on Saturday.
You would think. But once again, it's what time, I guess, are you allowed out of the quarantine time
sure.
frame?
Enough to travel. They're not, that game would have been Sunday morning. So they wouldn't have traveled here. I don't believe they would have traveled here on Sunday.
No. Well, especially if it's that time. I just don't see how that's feasible enough. I mean, we were when ASU was playing USC and it was a 9 a.m. local start time. Remember, Herm Edwards said their pregame meal was at 4:45 a.m.
Yes.
So I can't get over that. The one thing, though, that I am encouraged by in all of this sea of bad news and disappointment is that the Pac-12 is getting creative with their scheduling. It's something you called for last week. It's something we argued about on the timeline of it. But because they have a couple of days now, the Pac-12 is getting creative by having, oh, you can't play this team? Well, you can't play that team? We'll have you guys play one another. To the best of my knowledge, that is something that no other conference in college football has done yet this season.
It's imperative to try to get as many games as you can, right? I mean, this is a lot. This is all about revenue. I'm not thinking anything else outside of the revenue and how important the revenue is. I'm concerned about the season going forward. Again, the virus controls this whole process right now. The virus controls it, and if you're not going to have a bubble and you're going to travel with buses and hotels and airplanes, and you don't bubble it off like the NBA did or the NHL or in some ways even baseball at the end, it's going to be very difficult for them to get these games played. I mean, we already know that Utah is not going to play the seven games, and they're not going to play six games. And they're only going to play five games. I mean, some of the teams that are out there are, you know, Baylor, other universities. I mean, we have, oh, look, Alabama's not playing this week. Ohio State's not playing this week. Arizona State's not playing this week. I mean, it's very difficult week by week. There's 15 games canceled right now that we know of. There could be more that get canceled. And we already know that one game's canceled for next week.
Sarah mentioned this to us earlier in the program. For California now, this was their fifth season opener that has been canceled.
That's crazy.
They had UNLV.
That's just crazy.
Oregon State, Washington, ASU, and now UCLA as the fifth different team that Cal had scheduled to open up their season. And Matt Barry was saying that Baylor was in a similar situation. I know you just mentioned the Bears as well. So it's such a fluid situation. We talked about, because you also have some information about what this could mean for college basketball.
Yes.
And if I'm one of the decision makers in college basketball right now, I have to be sweating through my shirt, because how can you keep all of these players safe with what you're seeing with football? Now, granted, it's fewer individuals. It's not nearly the amount of people that an infrastructure that you have. But I think this should be a gigantic warning to the decision makers in college basketball that you might need to be thinking about alternate plans to help get the college basketball season to the finish line.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you look at right away is just not playing the non-conference schedule and just having a conference schedule. And, you know, part of the non-conference schedule for ASU is a trip to Connecticut. Well, you know, from what we understood, Connecticut, if you're coming from Arizona, Connecticut has to, you have to do a 14-day quarantine.
Yeah,
right now, right? We had Matt Berry from ESPN on. He's stationed over in Bristol. And he said, yeah, if the Arizona's on the list, if you're coming from Arizona, I don't know if I could find that out or not, but yeah, to go to Connecticut, I think you have a 14-day quarantine. So I don't know that that happens. But maybe you do that. And, you know, one of the other things I heard could be discussed is just, you know, when two teams come here, Washington State, Oregon State, maybe all four teams get together, you know, including U of A and ASU, and they just play in Tucson or they just play in Tempe. And that way there's no travel involved, you know, interstate travel. You don't have to travel from here to Tucson, and the other team doesn't have to travel from Tucson to here. And maybe you could just play all the games in one arena and you stay in one hotel and not two hotels, and that might help out.
You want to know Connecticut's travel advisory?
If you found it out that quickly, I'll hear it.
Anyone traveling to Connecticut from a state other than New York, New Jersey, or Rhode Island with a positive case rate higher than 10 per 100,000 residents are directed to self-quarantine for a 14-day period from the time of last contact to within the identified state or county. So basically, unless New York, Rhode Island, New Jersey, you're going to have to do a 14-day quarantine to go to Connecticut, right, as of right now. according to what I'm reading.
I don't know what the rates are, but I would imagine our rate is higher than that, right?
I'm looking at this website that has this information. It's the Connecticut government's website, and basically it has a map of the United States, and every state besides New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Vermont are green. Oh, Hawaii, too. So I guess they can maybe come from Hawaii. But everyone else doesn't meet the criteria.
New York and New Jersey are the same.
What do you mean?
New York and New Jersey have the same...
Oh, the same
rules,
restrictions.
As Connecticut.
I got you. Yeah. I thought you were trying to say that that's the same state.
And our rates here are higher in Maricopa County. Yeah. I wonder how that would affect football. Like when the Cardinals got to go back east.
Well, I think UConn football's not even playing this season, if I'm not mistaken.
No, but like NFL football.
Well, that's a valid point. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if we're talking about the Giants and the Jets hosting a home game in the Meadowlands, that's New Jersey.
Coming from a state that has a
Don't
a
the Cardinals
rate?
Play the Giants in a few weeks?
Yeah, and they also play the Patriots in Massachusetts. So,
Where's the Giant game?
I think it's in the Meadowlands.
The Giant game's in the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, they got to go. That's right. They got to go back to New York.
Experience the sights and sounds of football this season from your home. Text Sonic to 620-620 and enter the Supersonic Sports Fan Giveaway. The prize package includes a large screen TV, a soundbar, football jersey, and much more. Just text Sonic to 620-620 to enter. Text and data rates may apply.
One star Cardinal player wants to change the statistics on how things are kept. We'll talk about that next and tell you who it is right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right. So we did hear DeAndre Hopkins talk about, you know, I got three catches, but I also had a bunch of pass interference, you know, called against me. Check this out. This is an ESPN story. I got a kick out of this. Arizona Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins says receivers should get counted yards for pass interference.
We've got the sound. This was from earlier today, Cardinals wide receiver.
As long as the ball moves, that's all I care about. But I do think that the rules should change and receivers should get counted yards for penalties.
The question was, do you mind that you don't get the stats, you don't get your catches if you're drawing defensive pass interference? And he says, nah, as long as the ball's moving. But those yardage should be applied to my stats that I'm getting defensive pass interfered with.
There are some stats I hate, like, you know, a kneel down. A kneel down should not count for -3 rushing
Completely
yards.
Completely agree.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. That shouldn't count, a kneel down. Three kneel downs up, that's minus. That's not, because Murray would have had like 100 yards rushing in week one, but because of the kneel downs, they took it away. That's so stupid. What's another stupid?
Spiking the ball counting as an incomplete pass.
Yeah. Why
spiking the ball.
Why is that not intentional grounding? You're in the tackle box. You didn't get the ball to the line of scrimmage, and there's not an eligible wide receiver in the area.
How about when you flip the ball, you throw the ball to the wide receiver, or you know, and you think it's a running play, and it's a pass play. That's not a pass play. It's
that
a
happens
running play
all the time with the Cardinals with Christian Kirk, and it's just a
little flip.
Flip
the ball to him. You flip it to him. It's a pass. No, it's a running play.
But if you flip it backwards, it's a running play.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, some of these things are just like, you see these stats. That's a good question. I don't know. Pass interference, should that count? It never has. And I like stats. And I like comparing them, and you'd have to go back and change all these other stats,
maybe you just come up with a different statistic, and when you talk about, you know, advanced metrics and advanced stats, maybe there should be a new one. Maybe there is one out there. I'm sure there is with analytics, but how much penalty yardage you have accrued for your team based off of being interfered with? I mean, instead of adding it to your receiving total, because that's not accurate, that's not true. You didn't catch the ball, you didn't make the play.
How about when the quarterback goes down and somebody gets awarded the sack? Because you were the closest to him.
That's called the Michael Strahan rule.
You didn't even touch the guy. We're going to give that sack to Dennis Gardeck. He was the closest in the vicinity. For what?
Well, you got to give it to someone in that sense, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it is funny to hear DeAndre Hopkins talk about that because I think it's also unique from last week because how many times has one wide receiver drawn a pass interference call in one game. DeAndre Hopkins drew four of them last week. And he joked earlier that that might be some sort of NFL record, but you rarely see that many defensive pass interference. And so in that situation with that game, I can understand his frustration that he feels like he's getting statistics taken away from him. But that's not an every game occurrence where you draw four pass interference calls.
Somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody said that part of the all the offense that's in the game, there's so much offense in the game right now, is because of all the penalties being called. The officials aren't doing a very good job. You know, some of the numbers are just crazy. I think I put them out there today to you. Just, you know, some of the numbers and what's going on with the NFL. It's just like, wow, this is a lot of yards, a lot of teams putting up big yards. And, you know, is it the officiating that's leading to that?
One of the guys that was mentioning that was Patrick Peterson yesterday. He even called for the idea that there needs to be more referees on the field.
Oh, God, no.
Because they're missing some of these calls.
No.
I watched that play 30 times, and I was in perfect coverage. I never touched, I never poked, I never did anything like that because I take personal PIs very, very personally, especially if I know I did not have a PI. So we need more eyes on the field, Mr. Goodell, to get these games officiated better, because receivers get away with so much. They push off every route. The ref can never see it because the defender is blocking him. So if we want the game officiated to go evenly both ways, let's put more eyes on the field so the game can be officiated the correct way. So defensive guys won't be scared, you know, to go out there and play aggressive or play a certain technique because, you know, the guys behind us don't have the proper view to see what's going on.
Better officials, not more officials, okay? I'll agree with better officials. But I'm not going to agree to more officials. Well, I mean, that's not the answer is better officials. The answer is these guys got to get better at their job. Right now, teams have scored the most points through the first 9 weeks of the season in NFL history. 6,737 points. Chiefs lead the league with 286. Seahawks lead the NFL at 34.3 points per game. Highest scoring in season in NFL history. Is it because of the penalties? I don't know. Maybe. But I don't think the answer is more referees. That, to me, it's just better referees, not more referees.
Well, and also, if you're the NFL here, you're trying to put out the best possible product that brings in viewers, that brings in ratings. And a game where there is a flag thrown for every other pass play doesn't lend itself to any sort of flow or exciting product to watch. And so as much as I'm sorry, Patrick Peterson. Yeah, the deck is stacked against you and your fellow defensive backs. But from the NFL's perspective, this is what they want. They want offense. They want points. They want exciting plays because that's what brings in the people. Not watching flag after flag after flag and a team marching down the field with the aid of penalties.
I love, you know, when you can get great defensive performances too. I mean, you always remember the great defenses, the Ravens defense, the Bears defense, the Giants defense. You do. You remember, you know, the great defenses in the NFL. And some people remember the great offenses, too. You know, Bill Walsh's 49ers, great offenses.
Greatest Raven. Show on turf.
Yeah, the greatest show on turf with the Rams. I always like when you have, the great defenses that can just shut teams down. I would rather have a great defense than a great offense, but I'm probably in the minority.
But you can have that. Having a great defensive game doesn't mean that there's a lot of penalties. You can still have a great defensive-minded, fun game to watch, but that doesn't have to mean that there is a crazy influx of penalty flags.
All right, so we don't have ASU to watch tomorrow or Sunday. That game has been canceled. But you do have the Wildcats. U of A going to try to shock the world against USC.
Only two touchdown underdogs. Shocked by that.
Yeah. I'll take USC and give the 14 points.
I am with you on that one as well.
U of A did not play last week. They had their game canceled. So this is their first game. USC, of course, played Arizona State, had some issues. So that's your Pac-12 game. U of A, the Wildcats in action. And then Sunday, you've got the Bills and the Cardinals. We'll give you the latest on Monday. We'll get you caught up on everything that's happening with ASU and, of course, really go over this Cardinals-Bills game. Sarah Bear, thanks. Jordan, good job filling in for Bernsey. We'll be back Monday, 2 o'clock sharp, right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great weekend, everybody.